Hi, I'm Ben Miller from University Relations here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and we're a proud sponsor of WISP Politics and WISP Business Podcasts.
You're listening to WISP Business, the podcast, Wisconsin's business news source. Now, here's your host.
Hi, everybody. This is Alex Moak here for WISP Business, the podcast. Today, I'm joined by Coleman Pfeiffer, Senior Manager of Economic and Community Development at Alliant Energy. Coleman, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me.
Of course. So I understand that Alliant's economic development team last year was working on getting a tax credit for data centers located here in Wisconsin with passing that. Can you just start us off by, you know, discussing those efforts, how that all went?
Yeah, this was actually something we targeted roughly 3 or 4 years ago, right around the outbreak of COVID, as we had time to study some things and really plan the future growth of our industry. And it was primarily led by our neighboring states announcing some of these larger projects in the 200 to 300 megawatt range and starting to do some investigation on why is Wisconsin not a part of this industry at all. And with some of our connections just through industry, we were able to talk to some of those end users, those Googles, Meta, Amazons, and really learn that the lack of a sales and use tax exemption was kind of the key component that was eliminating us from early discussions. And from there, we kind of ran with it and started gaining support. And ultimately, we were successful in getting new legislation passed as part of the governor's budget last July. So a long journey of studying and understanding, but ultimately became fruitful.
Absolutely. Well, congrats on the success of that effort. And before we get into a little more on what exactly was signed into law here, can you just briefly explain, you know, why Alliant is getting involved with data centers? Why is this so important for a utility company?
Yeah, it's a significant user, right? So they typically range anywhere from a 250 megawatt up to a gigawatt of power. A good comparison, like a normal quick trip is about half a megawatt to a megawatt. So think about 250 quick trips. It really helps us strengthen our infrastructure from a transmission standpoint, which allows all of our industry, our residents, commercial, industrial, to have a more reliable service so that their power stays on longer and really helps spread costs of upgrading that infrastructure. So they're not all being charged right up front. You have a large user utilizing a lot of it that helps beef up that system for reliability.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And then, as you mentioned, that legislative effort that got started a few years ago really culminated in success last year. So what exactly was changed in state law as a result of this push?
The key component of the new law is that data centers are exempt from sales and use tax on all their personal property. So when you think of a data center, let's just round it up, it's about $1 billion investment for a phase one. Roughly 250 million or 25% of that is the actual building or the real property. The other three quarter, the 750 million, is typically the things inside the building, the HVAC and the servers. If you take out that 5.5%, that's roughly 25 million they're not going to pay in taxes. They replace those pieces of equipment about every 4 to 5 years. So over a 20-year lifespan, you're talking about significant savings from a tax standpoint. And from a competitive playing field, if I'm citing a project and I'm looking at Wisconsin or let's say Iowa, who already had one, I'm going to pick the state where I'm going to save roughly $100 million over my life cycle compared to a state, all things compared equal, to a state like Wisconsin that didn't have one. By passing AB 302 back in July, we are now at a competitive playing field. And I would actually say we have an advantage because our sales tax exemption is probably the leading standard now over those other states when we're trying to attract these data centers.
I see. So really a competitiveness angle there with some of these new projects, as you mentioned. A few years ago, Wisconsin wasn't really involved in the conversation around data centers. Where are we at now? Are there any, you know, specific projects that you're keeping an eye on that are planned in Wisconsin or that you're hearing about?
So I would say upon the signature of the budget, of which this was included in July, almost immediately after Microsoft announced that they were going to go down to Racine County as part of the Foxconn site, we started fielding calls, I would say 2 to 3 a week, from everybody from those major end users that I mentioned earlier, the Googles, Metas, all the way down to the more development side that come in and they build out the commercial building and then lease it to those end users. Definitely a lot more activity, a lot more interest. The problem you're going to see is it takes a long time to build out infrastructure to land these data centers. So you likely won't see announcements immediately after. Microsoft is pretty unique in that they're already looking at that site. You're going to start seeing announcements probably in the next 2 to 3 years, all things being worked on today. It's just, it takes a amount of time to get the infrastructure and to make the end user feel comfortable and confident about electrification on a certain date. But I would expect to see a lot of announcements probably in 2026, 27, based on that law being passed in July.
Gotcha. Okay, I'll be sure to keep my eyes out for news on that in the coming years. And glad we were able to connect and kind of set out the timeline for that in this conversation. So Coleman, I guess, you know, looking back on this effort that you were involved with, are there any other, I guess, big takeaways that you want to share with our audience? Any other kind of final thoughts to cap off this conversation on that data center effort?
Yeah, I would say I'm proud of Alliance's effort behind the scene. These types of things don't get done without a larger group getting behind it. And while we brought attention to the need for a sales and use tax exemption so that we could be competitive, it was the support of our other utility partners, of our regional economic development organizations, the 9 throughout the state all got behind this. Our state association, the Wisconsin Economic Development Association, helped support this. And then the end users, right? NetChoice as a group out of Washington, D.C., who represents some of these end users, helped us with the Mangum study, helped us get the lobbyists to start educating our representatives and ultimately getting Representative Zimmerman and Quinn to back this bill and really push it. So while I love that we had the idea, it's as all things in life, it takes an army to get things done, especially when you're talking legislative change. And without that support, without that interest, this would have never happened. And I ultimately think it's going to be something that significantly changes the landscape here in Wisconsin, not only making us more competitive, but adding really high quality jobs and a high tax base to our communities, making our state much more competitive and successful economically.
Great. Well, really glad to hear that, Coleman. And as we wrap up here, just as maybe a final thought to leave our listeners with, now that that effort is concluded, what are you working on? What do you got your eyes on the horizon here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so we definitely are looking at the sites that we can house some of these large users, specifically data center or AI technology that we're starting to see more and more of in our world. So identifying sites that have access to the capacity so that we can serve them quickly and meet the timeframes that they're looking to meet due to users. We all have a 13-year-old daughter who takes tons of pictures. Those pictures all go somewhere. So these data centers aren't going to get any smaller. They're only going to get bigger. We're also looking at other technology from a renewable natural gas area and things that utilize some of our ethanol producers and recapturing that CO2. And there's a lot of exciting things out there from a government incentive standpoint that's pushing a lot of technology and new developments. And we're trying to make sure Wisconsin not only gets their fair share, but gets the majority share, because we want Wisconsin to be a leader in all things in the U.S. And I think we're in a really good position economically to be a leader in a number of categories and continue to progress our state.
Absolutely. Well, best of luck with all those efforts, Coleman, and it'd be great to have you come back on the podcast sometime to do an update on some of those things and just keep us in the loop on what you're working on. So just want to say thanks again so much for coming on the WISP Business Podcast.
Excellent. I appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks.
You've been listening to WISP Business, the podcast. Now stay tuned for a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Ben Miller from University Relations here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and we're a proud sponsor of WISP Politics and WISP Business Podcast. Did you know that almost 80% of UW-Madison's in-state students return to live and work in Wisconsin in the years after graduation? And almost half of all UW-Madison alumni are current Wisconsin residents. That's just one way we're driving our economy forward. UW-Madison is working for Wisconsin.